It's nice to be up here again. It's a pleasure and it's a blessing. As many of you guys know, I feel a strong calling on my life to present the Word of God because I feel like that is the gift that God has given me, and it's a blessing to be able to work in that. It's a blessing to be able to continue to mold myself into a person like Christ and to do it with my church family. And so I'm excited to get into this message today because it's a message that's close to my heart. As many of you know, or maybe some of you don't know, Timothy was actually a young student for Christ. And he actually was mentoring under Paul to go and plant churches. And Paul kind of starts his message in 2 Timothy out with this idea in the context of being aware and weary of false prophets. And so if you guys want to turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, we'll read and then get into the Word of God. Starting in 14, it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, and I come before you today, Lord, as a vessel for you to work through, for you to operate through. I pray, Lord, that I can communicate the important message that I feel you have placed on my heart to my church family. I pray, Lord, that I can step aside and make room for you to work through me, that I can submit my tongue to you, so that you can communicate your message for this church in these times. I ask these things in your name, Father. Amen. So Paul is communicating an important message to Timothy as he's going about and planting churches. He challenges Timothy to stick to and hold near to the things that he has been taught and to be encouraged and to trust what he has learned, because he knows the source of what he has learned, and he knows that that's credible. And so, to kind of give you some context and understanding, Timothy never really attended a formal education or formal school. Although they had it back then, he was really had this great foundation that he learned from his grandmother and his mother. And so they raised Timothy in the Word from a young age, and then he went and mentored under Paul to go and plant churches. And so, as we start out in this first verse, he says, in 14 he says, "But for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those who have learned it, who you've learned it from." And so, this challenge, and he is challenging us, especially young adults, to continue in what we have learned. Because in these times that we live in today, there's a lot of theology out there. There's a lot of noise out there. And we're trying to live in this culture as Christians, and especially us whose brains aren't even fully developed yet. We have a few years for that. We're trying to learn and mold ourselves to the Scripture, but Paul's also telling us to do that because he gives us a charge to go and use the Scripture that we learned. And so a question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we living, breathing, and being trained up by the Word of God? And that's a question that I want us to sit with and think about for a second. Are we as a church living and breathing and being trained up by the Word of God? Are we as parents surrounding our kids with the Word of God? Just like Timothy was. It's important because to decipher through right and wrong, to decipher through sound doctrine and not sound doctrine, we can't go to what this influencer says or this newscaster says. We can't go to all these opinions that the world is constantly filling us up with. We need to be defined, lived, and trained up by the Word of God. And this message to me is on my heart, and it's important to communicate to you guys, because Paul starts this out, he starts this chapter out warning about false prophets. Now think about it. He was warning Timothy about false prophets in the times where he was writing these letters. Those weren't times where someone could record a video and post and have millions of people see. Those weren't times where some pastors were focused and minded on how big of a congregation that they could get so they could preach their doctrine to fill the room with people who want their ears itched. But that is the time that we live in today. We live in a time where any one of us who pays maybe around $100 a month can watch hundreds of TV shows. If you pay a Netflix subscription, you have unlocked a bunch of movies, a bunch of content. And so the message of the world and the false prophets that are in the church, we are coming in contact with. Now, for us and our generation as young adults, I know that we're on our screens a lot. We're always scrolling, we're always going through, we're watching shorts, we're watching TikTok, we're watching Instagram. You guys are probably like, what language is he speaking right now? But it's important because we are growing up in an age where our minds are being dictated by screens. But I challenge and I offer us as young adults and adults, are we having our minds and our lives being defined and trained up by the Word of God? And it's important because we don't want to, as a church or as a body or as Christians, become deceived by wrong doctrine. Because I want to be in a church where I can stand up here and I can misquote a verse and someone will go, something's not right about that, and they'll stand up and they'll call it out. Because that is the day and age that we live in, where everyone has a platform and everyone has a voice. We're hearing all of these mixed doctrines. We need the Word of God. And how from verse 15. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing to Timothy, be careful and continue in what you've learned in. Because previously he is saying that there will be times that come, the days of godlessness, perilous times, where you're going to need to be sound in your doctrine. If we go a little bit earlier, he says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now, let's stop right there. There's a lot of people who will claim they know the time where Jesus is coming back. The Bible's clear. Not even Jesus knows the day, only the Father knows. But the Bible does also say we'll know the season, because he outlines events that are happening. And as a church, I know some of us are reading the Word and seeing those events happening. So I'm coming with a message for us to be in the Word of God, because I believe we are in these times that he is talking about. I say that because, number one, the prophets in the Old Testament were saying that, and that was like 2,000 years ago. But sometimes what I see is I see the more time away from, say, like John going, repent for the return of the Lord is near. 2,000 years later, we should be more on guard. We should stand on the faith even more sincerely, because there's more time that has passed, which means it's closer to his return. And so maybe I don't know and won't be able to know when he will return, but we do know the season. And it says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Sorry, mom. Sorry, dad. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Man, he lays it out. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And I don't need to get into it because that's not the sermon we're doing today. But if we're not being intentional, if we're not being on guard, that's second nature for us. Because in the old time, in the Old Testament, in the biblical times, and in those times where this scripture was being written, it looked a lot different. If you were disobedient to your parent, they had rights to basically kill you or at least beat you. And people would be shamed if they were lovers of pleasure, if they were lovers of money, if they were lovers of all of these things. But you see, we are living in a time where if we're not being intentional, if we're not having our minds molded to the Word of God, that list that he just read is our second nature. Because it's a beautiful thing to live in America where I can stand up here and we can stand up here and preach the Word without really facing persecution. But we also live in a country that prides itself on saying, do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever makes you feel good. Love pleasure more than you love God. And so, as we go into verse 15, we ask ourselves, verse 14, we ask ourselves, why do we need to? Why do we need to continue in what you learned? Why? Because it makes us wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. Why do we need to be trained up by the Word of God? It is useful for wisdom in salvation through Jesus Christ. I pray that we take that seriously too. Because sometimes we can be focused on the wrong things as Christians. And this is not me being judgmental, by the way, but this is me just challenging and asking us as a church to go, is Sunday the one time that we get into the Word of God? But then Monday through Saturday, we're in the Word of the world? I like to think about it like food. I know I at least eat three, probably more than three meals a day. But I can't really go on from one day to another day without filling myself with food, without eating so that my body can be energized for the next task that it needs. This word is the bread. And there's a reason that the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Because we need this word to fill us, to mold us, and to energize us to face the world. But sometimes what I see and sometimes what I notice is Sunday might be the one day where we come in and we're getting filled with the Word. And so I challenge us in these times that we live in to not think through the mindset of it's comfortable to sit in church, hear the Word, get filled, go throughout the week, and then just think about church or church events. We need to hear this word. We need to be trained up because it's useful for our salvation. But then when we get full, we need to go and spread that word to other people. Because guess what? In the times where the world seems crazy and everyone seems like depressed and down and anxious, the Bible says that this word is life. And we have life, and we continue to get filled with life when we come in Christian community, but the rest of the people who are in the world, they're missing it. And if they're not missing it, then they're being deceived. Pastor Tom was talking about how Satan has this grip on the world. He veils unbelievers. And there's one thing that can pierce through that, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I pray, church, that we get trained up because it's useful for our salvation. But the more that we're trained by the word, it's useful to help us to save others. Because isn't that what Christ came and did for us? So I pray that we can do that and we can have the confidence. Because remember, Paul was even writing this to Timothy, who was, I don't really know how old he was, but we know he was younger. And so for kids my age or young adults my age, whoever's in here, Paul says that all we need to go and to ministry is the word of God. Okay? He says in verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So what he's communicating here is, number one, all scripture is God-breathed. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that all scripture is God-breathed? Who here has heard of the term breath of life or God's breath of life? So it's actually this Old Testament term where God breathes his breath of life into creation. Now, what happened was when the prophets were writing the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, he was breathing his life through them into this text. And so all of those debates you hear about interpretation or the Bible or is it accurate, it's not just another book. It's not just another opinion. It's not just another interpretation. It is the holy words of God himself. That's why it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Because the more that we read this, the more life that we get. That's why all the people who are struggling and all the people who are missing that feel like they have no life. And so that word teaching, really what it's talking about, is conveying the teachings and rightful doctrines of the scriptures. We go on, and some of us aren't familiar with the word rebuking. Or we think it's like those people who stand and they say, you're going to go to hell and blah, blah. That's not really what he's trying to convey. Rebuking just means challenging and convicting of one's wrong beliefs. So as disciples, as God's children, he's calling us to the word of God to challenge and convict one's wrong belief. And then lastly, we have correcting, which means to restore to an upright manner. So God is saying, number one, my holy scripture is my word. That word gives us life, and my breath of life breathed through the prophets to collect the words for us, to teach us more about the personhood of Christ. But then secondly, this scripture is useful for teaching. It's useful for convicting and challenging, and it's useful for restoration. And he says, training in righteousness. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're all servants of Christ. And so Paul is not simply writing to Timothy to say, hey, this is the words that I'm writing you. Be weary of the times and the false prophets and the times that are to come and learn the word of God just so that we can keep it in. He's calling all of us to have that biblical foundation so we go out into the world and we share the same message that saved us. And once again, remember, Timothy was never like this formally educated person. He had this great biblical understanding, and he had people who mentored him and raised him up through the word. So I pray that us, young adults, we never let anyone discard us because of our age, our education, or experience. That's not biblical. But what the Bible does say is for those people who will do that, set an example for them with our manner and our conduct and our understanding. That understanding does not come from ourselves.
That's why the Bible and Christianity is the one religion that allows someone who is an infant to sit with a teacher, and there can be teaching between both parties. And so I pray that as us young adults and us as a church, we can be a well-read church. We can be a church that has understanding in the Word of God. We can be a church that lives is dictated and trained up by the Word of God. And I was questioning, why did God give me this, like, why did he just repeat this? Be a well-read church. Be a well-read church. Why, when I was prepping for this, did God put that in my head? And I understood, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me, that a church that is well-read and a church that commits itself to being a house of prayer is a church that will not be deceived. And so in the times that we're living in, we're called to be well-read, but what we learn from that is to not be dismayed by the world, to not be downcast by everything that we see, but to be filled by the life of God, the breath of God, to be filled by his word so that we're encouraged to go out and be a city on a hill that cannot be snuffed out. Because I'm going to be straight. There's a time where our lives will be on the line for preaching this word. What's more important to us? Being a servant of God or our comfort? Preaching the word of God or our life? But what we understand is that God has overcome this world. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. We are nothing but a temple for the Holy Spirit to reside in so that we can bring his kingdom and his will down on this earth. So that we can preach the word and not be ashamed of the word, because we know it has the power of saving, we know it has the power of salvation, and we know it has the power to transform people. I know there's people in here who have been transformed by the word of God, and that's why I will not be ashamed to preach it. And so, along with being a well-read church, and along with us, young adults, and people who have not formally been educated, I challenge you to not simply take the text of God as a joke, but to be a workman of the word of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and one who correctly handles the truth." So he is putting responsibility on our behalfs to be a worker of the text, to get into the text, to chew through the text, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal us things about the text so that we can go and preach the text. There's one more thing that I was reading in this time that God kind of spoke, like not spoke to me, because I've never heard the audible voice of God, but he's convicted my heart into this pattern of thinking. And I feel like we've given up this process of working through the Holy Scriptures with the Holy Spirit. Because we live in a time where there's so much information readily accessible to us. There's so many commentaries, there's schooling, there's podcasts, there's YouTube videos, there's seminars, there's sermons. All of that is dessert. Us developing a relationship with the Spirit and then asking the Spirit to reveal his text to us is called the meat. And we can't always be people who can't chew through meat. Because meat is something that is so rich and dense in nutrients. It has proteins and amino acids and branches. It has all the things that we need for life and things to build us up. And so us developing a relationship where we can ask the Spirit, when we get confused about something, "Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. Why did you lead me to this passage? Supernaturally speak to me, please." Because we're going to need this. We're going to need that practice. We're going to need to learn how to chew through the word of God by ourselves and then refined by community, right? So that's what I'm preaching. Read it, understand it through the Spirit, and then refine it around community. But the reason why I say that is because far too often when we don't understand something, we turn to another man's interpretation. We turn to another scholar's opinion. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, by all means. God works through people much smarter than I to reveal the text to me. But I pray that before we just go to all of this dessert, chew through the text. But the Bible says to meditate on the word of God, to have it always in our mind and on our lips. And so I pray that we learn this process of not just always seeking to have the questions answered right away, but for asking the Holy Spirit. And the reason that I say that is because of 1 Corinthians 2:10. What does it say? It says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received in us is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that what we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. We need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that he can reveal to us what his word means. The Spirit is the great teacher. He's the great shepherd for us. He allows us to discern the mind and the will of God. And so the more that we read and the more that we pray and the more that we have this relationship with the Spirit of God, the more he'll reveal and make this text make sense. But if we in our personal walks are not going to be deceived, then we need to stop being such like we're sheep for God, but a lot of the times we look like sheep for man. And I don't mean that like rudely or judgmentally. That's not where my heart is. But my heart is, I want us to, as a church, understand that we shouldn't be running for what like all of these people are just saying all the time. We should take what I say, even me up here today, you should take what I say and you should put it down and you should go and read and test it to the scripture. Back to verse 17, it says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It then goes on to say, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Continue in the word. Understand the word. The word is useful for wisdom and salvation through Christ Jesus. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit to discern the word, and then preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Why? For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. This is what we have to be careful of. We need to develop our own relationship through the word of God, because there's a time, and I believe we're in that time now, where people are gathering themselves up with false prophets. And they're doing that because it itches their ears. There's a reason why a lot of the people who are not preaching the word of God correctly have the most people in their congregation. because we don't like when it cuts. We don't like to know that we're sinners. We don't like to know that we have to step out of our comfort zone. It's nice when all we hear is like this doctrine that builds us up. And yes, Paul says, and the Bible says we're supposed to encourage each other. We're supposed to build each other up. But we have to be discerning minds in these times, because the Bible says there will be people who gather themselves up. Teachers who will just give them exactly everything they want to hear, and they will not put up with sound doctrine anymore. But we still have the charge by Paul to preach the word. And so I want us to understand that instead of going to church and thinking that our position is to just get filled each Sunday, that we know the reason we're getting filled is so that we can fill other people. And it's just so important. And the message was just so important on my heart to communicate to you guys. Because sometimes I feel like we feel if we don't have letters after our name, we can't preach the word of God. But God used fishermen to preach against the people with letters after their name. We know we can trust what the word of God is saying. We know we can trust what the Holy Spirit teaches us. We know we can trust that if we chew through and get through and meditate on the word, that we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be scared. We can have the boldness of Christ and the confidence of Christ behind us. That's each and all of our positions. That's each and all of us. We all are given this charge to go and do that. And I love that, just that mentality of when the world gets so dark, and there are the times of godlessness where people don't put up with sound doctrine, where people don't want to hear, where people don't want to be called out or challenged, that just means our light shines brighter. Don't look at it as the world is getting darker. Although it is, it's just meaning it gives us an opportunity for our light to shine brighter. And although it might seem uncomfortable, although it might be scary, although it might seem like it calls us out of our comfort zone, God promises that he will show up because he's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to never leave us nor forsake us. And so he's not going to call you, he might call you into something that feels uncomfortable, but he'll show up for you and act on your behalf. And so once again, we need to be a well-read church. We need to be a workman of the scripture so that we can then take that, be filled by the word of God, be filled by his life that the scriptures gives us, so we can go and preach to others. Lastly, he ends with, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths." That's something I struggle with. I really do. There's nothing more than I like than to listen to a nice conspiracy of how like aliens are coming or something. Or like this politician is the Antichrist, or this businessman is the Antichrist. And guys, if we feel like we're living in that time, we need to learn more about Jesus and stop giving the devil so much of our attention. Come on. Come on. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest of these things shall be added unto you. He will supply all of our needs. He will supply all of the things that we need to operate in ministry. The word of God is useful for all of the things. It doesn't exclude anyone from ministry. And if we're focusing our eyes on Jesus, if we're learning about Jesus, because I've gotten into the trap of reading the Bible with me as the center in it. How does this verse apply to me? What is this verse saying about me? In any other book where the name that is said the most, you know that book's about that person. The name of Jesus and the name of God is the most said name throughout this book. This book is about Jesus. So we learn more about the personhood of Jesus, because as we learn more about Jesus, we lose more of ourselves. So as we learn more about Jesus, we lose more of ourselves. And as we learn more about Jesus, we become more like Jesus. We understand the personhood of Jesus. We can feel confident that when we say we believe in the name of Jesus, we know what we're believing in. Because how can you claim to believe in something that you don't know? And you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So he wraps it up with saying the importance of being a well-read church. Saying the importance of being a workman of God, developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, understanding sound doctrine so that when people are preaching unsound doctrine, we can be the voices that have the boldness to stand up and say, we will preach what the word says. Even if that means it might hurt us, even if it means it might call us out of our comfort zones, even if it means it might change us, because God is described as an all-consuming fire. When was the last time that you saw something in the middle of the fire and it not be molded, it not be changed? And so how can we be filling ourselves, or how can we have a relationship with this all-consuming fire but still look the same? We can't. His Spirit convicts and calls patterns of our life out of us so that we look more like Jesus. That's why the more we read and the more we get life from the text, the more we look like Jesus. That's why Paul says, copy me, do what I do, because I'm trying to copy Jesus. And so read the word, understand it's about Jesus, be a workman of God, be a well-read church so that we can be filled and go and fill others. I pray that as we traverse through these times as a church, that as some of us feel Jesus' return is near, or we see the winds of the end times blowing in our society, that we don't allow it to put us off, that we don't allow it to snuff us out, that we don't allow us to make us shy. I heard one day, yesterday, I was talking with one of my friends, and he was talking about the verse that says, the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, did you notice how it said shadow of death? Satan can't kill you with the shadow of a tiger. But you know what it does? It causes fear. Because when we see the shadow of the tiger, we think there's a tiger, and it turns us away. But even through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not allow Satan to snuff us out and snuff the call of us out. We will stand and we will preach the word. We won't be deceived. We'll be a church that prays. We'll be a church that reads. We'll be a church that preaches the truth. We'll be a church that doesn't go away for false doctrine. And we'll be people in the church who are not just being filled on Sunday, but we're getting into the word Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When we go into the world and we go into all the areas around us, we know we don't need anything besides the word of God, solid doctrine, good community, and mentors in order to preach the word, in order to start ministries, and in order to feel empowered to have the word of God give life into this dark world. And that's truly what's on my heart to say today. Father, we come before you today, Lord, humble. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God, for the words that you have given us to teach us about the personhood of Christ. To allow us in these times where there's so much information, so many doctrines, to develop a relationship with the Spirit so we can discern the Word of God and not be blown and tossed by every wind of doctrine. I pray, Lord, that everyone here is encouraged, that they know we all have the same Spirit. We all have the same Bible. And we all have the opportunity to be a workman of that Bible, to go and preach the word to others. I pray that there's no doctrine that makes people feel disqualified when they are a workman of the word. I pray that there's no pressure for people to feel like they can't communicate the word of God. I pray that we can all be emboldened through your spirit, that we can all be emboldened by the life you have given us through the word of God, to go into this world where so many of your children are just held captive by the devil. I also pray that we know as a church and everyone understands that this word of God is the one thing that can pierce and break through the stranglehold that the enemy has on this world. And I pray that we can feel called out of our comfort zones. That we can understand if we truly feel your return is near, that we'll do what the rest of Matthew says when he says we're called to go and preach. We're called to go and give money to the poor. We're called to go and feed the poor, to clothe the naked. Because in that, we are feeding you. We are supporting you. And we are clothing you. And I just ask all these things in your name, Father, and your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.